Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Kevin Moore Show. I'm Kevin Moore, and it is a pleasure to be spending the next hour with you. Our opening musical selection was Promises, Promises, a wonderful song from the great composer Burt Bacharach. And that's what I have for all of you today, the promise that this next hour will be informative, interesting, provocative, and maybe even a little exciting. A promise that our discussions will give you something to think about today and hopefully something to talk about tomorrow. Or what I'd like to think of as a civilized hour of culture and conversation. Well, as I like to do to begin each of our shows, I'd like to read or share a recent poignant story, an especially interesting essay, or some philosophical quotes or thoughts, or sometimes even a little poetry that touches or speaks to us all. Given the fact that we just started baseball, it's spring, a rite of passage, certainly something we all look forward to. A little essay taken from Parade magazine, written by Roger Rosenblatt, entitled Take Me Out to the Ball Game. Spring is here and Americans' thoughts turn once again to baseball. Roger writes, when the game was over, I stood with a bunch of kids outside Yankee Stadium waiting to get autographs. The Indians' Bob Feller burst through the door, a losing pitcher's scowl on his face, and plowed through us, muttering his irritation. Offended, I reported it to my dad, who suggested I write a letter of complaint to the New York Times. I was 10, and it was 1951. I can't recall if the Times ran my letter or even if I mailed it, but the incident suggests what an innocent time that was, long before big money divided fans from the stars, when players were expected to sign baseballs and chat with kids in the street. Yet even now, when a so-so reliever costs $5 million and the stadium serves quiche, baseball retains most of its innocence. Here we are, older and jaded and still giddy as the season begins. Nothing in American life excites us this way. Of course, my we and us assume everyone loves the game, but why not? Baseball is America. It's competitive, it's green, and it's such a well-made invention. Like the Constitution, baseball has balances between institutional order and individual passion. For over a century, its rules have suffered no major changes. 60 feet and 6 inches is still 60 feet and 6 inches. The bat is the bat, and the ball is the ball. The Irish writer Sean O'Fallon said that the most hopeful word in the English language is and. And here we go again, longing for the world of pitchers and catchers and balls and strikes, and jobs are hard to come by, and mortgages are hard to pay, and the world may be full of terror and tears, and yet there are two seasons to baseball and two seasons of emotions. The heady optimism of spring and early summer, and then the dispiriting time not long after the All-Star game, when everything that was heaving with promise comes to a hard end. From April to August, baseball is Mickey Mantle as a boy with peach fuzz, an Oklahoma twang and knees that worked. From August to the series, it's the man with bloodshot eyes and sun-baked neck, and the foolish yearning to play one year too many. No sport cherishes its memories like baseball. Will you ever forget the picture of Willie Mays' back as he ran down Vic Wirtz's drive in the 1954 World Series? Will you forget Ted Williams' last at-bat, how he shot around the bases after his home run and then refused to acknowledge the Boston fans, contemptuous to the end? And Stan Musial's shy smile. And you, will you ever forget you tossing a ball with your mom or dad in the yard, the two of you connected by nothing but a baseball? You played catch, not throw, because in no other way were you so completely catching each other. Bob Feller has died. I no longer wait outside Yankee Stadium, and I go to maybe 3 games a year. Yet, I go. And I always go early to watch batting practice and fungo and the games of pepper. It is then that we can see the players not as tycoons, but as kids. Then, as the game is about to begin, that we perch on the edge of our seats all in it together, one game, one country. And Derek Jeter is breaking towards second, and Minnesota's Joe Mauer is rising from his crouch and pegging the ball low and on the first base side of the bag. And Jeter goes in head first. And there's so much dust. And the umpire cries, out. Out? Are you kidding? Nice little essay. Take me out to the ball game. Spring is here, and Americans thought turn once again to baseball. Very true. Very true. A special time. Well, we don't want to forget to mention for our good friends over at the Shakespeare Project of Chicago. I'm going to give you a phone number. Call the artistic director, Peter Greeno, 847-217-1616. But April 21st and April 22nd, the final performances of the season, the final theatrical reading of the season, Troilus and Cressida, will be performed. And that will be at the Newberry Library at 10 o'clock in the morning on April 21st. And at 2 o'clock at the Wilmette Public Library on April 21st, and then on April 22nd at the Highland Park Public Library at 2 o'clock. And certainly a great group of people. We had the opportunity of having Peter Greeno on the show a couple weeks ago to talk about the Shakespeare Project of Chicago. It was created to achieve three main goals: to bring to life the words of William Shakespeare and the world's other great dramatists, to foster the talents of members of Actors' Equity Association, the professional union of actors and stage managers, and to present the plays to members of our community for free. The mission of the Shakespeare Project of Chicago includes educational outreach programs to augment Shakespeare studies for middle school, high school, and university students, with our approach driven by a simple goal: make the students' first experience with Shakespeare a positive one. Over the past 16 years, the Shakespeare Project of Chicago has produced theatrical readings of over 80 classic plays, each of Shakespeare's plays at least once, presented by professional actors to our audiences free of charge, utilizing the talents of equity actors with credits ranging from Broadway, off-Broadway, regional houses, preeminent Shakespeare festivals, and the major Illinois houses. We make these passionately performed classics available to all without regard to income, race, age, or any other demographic. Our artistic focus is firmly rooted in the text of the play, illuminating meaning and emotion through the actor's exploration of the world in words. And also, in addition to that, and this is something you have to know, because on Monday, April 23rd, it's the 448th birthday of Mr. William Shakespeare. And in honor of that, it is Talk Like Shakespeare Day. The City of Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel has proclaimed Monday, April 23rd, Talk Like Shakespeare Day, an occasion for citizens from Chicago and across the globe to celebrate Shakespeare's 448th birthday by bringing the spoken words of Shakespeare into their daily lives. The holiday, which originated in Chicago in 2009, became a worldwide sensation, garnering extensive national and international media coverage and more than 1 million hits to talklikeshakespeare.org. Shakespeare is being celebrated around the world next week, from Chicago to London to Armenia, in recognition of the man who engineered more than 154 sonnets, 37 plays, 1,700 original words, and innumerable phrases. On April 23rd, Shakespeare's Globe Theatre in London will launch its Globe to Globe Festival, part of London's Cultural Olympiad, beginning a two-month international event presenting all 37 plays from Shakespeare canon in 37 different languages, including Chicago Shakespeare's Othello, the remix. Among the many visitors to Navy Pier, the Midwest's most visited tourist destination on April 23rd will be William Shakespeare himself. He'll be there. The Bard. Those who talk like Shakespeare to the Bard will receive free rides in Navy Pier's iconic Ferris wheel from 10 to noon. Shakespeare will dine at Harry Carey's Tavern on Navy Pier, where a special Shakespeare-inspired menu will be available from noon to 2 o'clock. TalkLikeShakespeare.org is the virtual home base for revelers. Now, tips on how to talk like Shakespeare. Here are some tips. Instead of saying you, you say thou. Instead of saying y'all, you say thee. Rhymed couplets are all the rage. You're addressing a man, you say sirrah. Ladies are mistress, and your friends are all called cousin. Instead of cursing, try calling your tormentors jackanapes or canker blossoms or poisonous bunch-backed toads. There you go. When in doubt, add the letters eth to the end of verbs. An example, he runneth, he trippeth, he falleth. To add weight to your opinions, try starting them with methinks or mayhaps or in sooth or wherefore. When wooing a lady, try comparing her to a summer's day. If that fails, say, get thee to a nunnery. Actually, a nunnery was not what you think. A nunnery was a house of ill repute in Shakespearean and Elizabethan England. So people don't know that, but now you do. So Monday is Talk Like Shakespeare Day. So make sure when you get up in the morning, you address whoever you meet. How are they? Gadzooks, how are they? Well, we have a very fun show. Anyway, we had the opportunity of going to the opening night of Jersey Boys. And what a great, great evening in the theater that was. You don't want to miss it if you have the opportunity. Saw it a few times. I've seen it, I don't know, three or four times. And this time is as great as ever. And certainly the stars and the performers are the same. Our first guest today will be one of the performers who sings the Frankie Valli role in Jersey Boys. So it'll be fun to chat with Nick Cosgrove and talk a little bit about his experiences in Jersey Boys. Cubs and the Sox, well, kind of even somewhere along the line. Still early. Hawks. Hossa got nailed the other day, didn't he? So did the guy that hit him. Bulls, half their team is out, but they're still winning. So we'll see as we go into the playoffs. And I think it's time, as they say in springtime, that all the fruit trees, the Bradford pears, which were white, and the crab apples, which were blossoming pink, and magnolias are gone now because the wind blows the buds off the trees. But the lilacs are beautiful in bloom and certainly very fragrant, and the red buds are just gorgeous. And but we'll be saying goodbye to them as everything blossoms out, gets green and verdant, and we start getting some warm weather and getting into the spring and into summer. I don't want to forget, of course, coming up this Thursday at Metropolis Performing Arts Center in beautiful downtown Arlington Heights. Kevin Moore presents Score by Score, the best of Broadway musicals. The music of George Gershwin, looking forward to that. Our musical director, Becky Menzie. Our program director, Mr. Daryl Nitz, with Laura Freeman and Heather Moran and Tommy Michael. Great evening, 7:30 out at the Metropolis. And a lot of interesting stories about Shakespeare. Certainly a lot of a lot of interesting stories about Gershwin. A lot of interesting music that he had written, and we'll see a little bit about that. Tell a story about his life and his times, and certainly his great work. So it'll be a great evening out at Metropolis Performing Arts Center in Arlington Heights this coming Wednesday evening at 7:30. Well, we're going to play a little music from Ramsey Lewis's CD, The Millennium Collection. Beautiful song written by Lennon and McCartney. Kind of one you don't hear very often, but certainly just a delightful instrumental entitled Julia. And we'll be back on The Kevin Moore Show. Huey Lewis, Lennon McCartney's Julia. We're back on the Kevin Moore Show. Okay, imagine this. The theater has suddenly turned into a bustling vintage diner just off the New Jersey Turnpike, and a waitress comes over and hands you a big bucket of shiny quarters. And all you have to do is sit back, insert the coins, and press the play button on some great jukebox in the sky. And there, reborn, thanks to the magic of live theater, will be the original Four Seasons. Frankie Valli, Bob Gaudio, Tommy DeVito, and Nick Massey. They will tell you their story, each supplying a distinctive point of view. They will perform their greatest hits, and they will easily work their way back into the hearts of anyone who came of age in the late 50s and 60s. And maybe, just maybe, they'll even manage to find a cool retro spot on the iPod shuffles of a whole new generation of pop music fans. Of course, all this can mean just one thing. Jersey Boys, the 2006 Tony Award-winning Broadway musical, has arrived in Chicago in a supercharged knockout of a national touring company production, working our way back to Chicago. Broadway in Chicago is thrilled to announce Jersey Boys at the Bank of America Theater, 18 West Monroe, will play for 9 weeks only through June 3rd. Jersey Boys is the winner of the 2006 Best Musical Tony Award, the 2006 Grammy Award for Best Musical Show Album, and the 2009 Olivier Award for Best Musical, and the 2010 Helpman Award for Best Musical in Australia. The premiere engagement of Jersey Boys in Chicago was an overwhelming success, running for more than 2 years, 951 performances, and seen by more than 1 million theatergoers. Jersey Boys is the story of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. Frankie Valli, Bob Gaudio, Tommy DeVito, and Nick Massey. This is the story of how a group of blue-collar boys from the wrong side of the tracks became one of the biggest American pop music sensations of all time. They wrote their own songs, invented their own sounds, and sold 175 million records worldwide, all before they were 30. And on the line with us right now is the award-winning performer, having been seen in such classics as Joseph, Les Mis, Fiddler on the Roof, Miss Saigon, and at Northlight Theater in Stephen Schwartz's Snapshots. Proud graduate of Carnegie Mellon University, local Park Ridge resident from Maine South, one of the brightest young stars in the world of musical theater, and now appearing as Frankie Valli in America's and Chicago's favorite musical, Jersey Boys, at the Bank of America Theater through June 3rd, Mr. Nick Cosgrove. Nick, welcome to the Kevin Moore Show.
Thank you so much, Kevin. How are you doing?
Well, terrific, and congratulations on the great success of Jersey Boys. And as I said before, we've seen this three or four times, and this one is as good as any of them.
Oh, well, thank you so much. We are so pleased to be back in Chicago. I mean, this company is so happy to be back in this town. I mean, our audiences here have been so warm and welcoming to us, so we are happy to be back.
Well, you just have all your neighbors filling the seats. That's what it is.
Oh, sure. I mean, this is my hometown, so I mean, it was really, really great to, I joined the company back in January, and to see on the schedule that we were going to be coming back to Chicago at the same theater. I mean, the Bank of America Theater is where the production sat down for, I think it was 2 years here in Chicago, and it's where I actually first saw the show when I was 17, when I was just a junior in high school. So, I mean, it's just been a dream to be a part of this show, and especially to be coming back to my hometown and performing in the theater where I first saw it. It's so wonderful.
Well, Nick, talk about dreams come true. You saw it yourself. You're sitting in the seats, and you looked at Frankie Valli and Bob Gaudio and Tommy DeVito and Nick Massey and everything and say, geez, I'd like to try that sometime, and you are.
Yeah, no, it's been a really, really wild journey. I mean, I graduated from Carnegie Mellon University in 2010, moved to New York, and was auditioning for this show. I mean, I had auditioned for this show for about a year before I finally, you know, got down to the final callback, and everything just kind of played out its way up until where I am right now.
Well, you know, I was gonna ask you a question, which is kind of, what is Frankie Camp?
Frankie Camp is pretty much, I know, it sounds like, pretty much imagine 10 little guys all looking like Frankie Valli, all singing, you know, all singing up in their falsetto. It's pretty much like a three-day extensive where we work with Katie Agresta, who's one of the main voice coaches for Jersey Boys, that works with all the Frankies. So we pretty much have voice lessons with her. We work with one of the associate choreographers and learn, you know, a lot of the choreography from the show. And it's pretty much just a chance for some of the creative team to get to see some of the Frankies that they might be interested in casting. And it's just kind of a chance to see if you know, if the boys that they have brought in can sustain and, you know, sing this music. I mean, Frankie has to sing 27 songs within the course of 2.5 hours. I mean, it's kind of like you're running a little bit of a marathon, you know.
So it's like the Stepford Wives. They just create all these clones of Frankie Valli.
No. A little bit.
You know, as we were talking, I was thinking about it, given, of course, we lost one of the greats, Dick Clark, here in the last couple of days. And I wonder if the Four Seasons were ever on American Bandstand. I don't know. That's a rhetorical question. Were they?
They were, and you actually find out in the show. It's actually a part in the show. I won't give anything away, but yes. Yes, they were.
Okay, that's kind of interesting. Of course, it's amazing when you go to this show, and you can say a lot of the revivals, of course, some of the shows too, is the amount or the voluminous amount of hits that the Four Seasons had, one after the other. And you sit in the seat and you go, gosh, that's right, they had that one and that one too, and one after the other. Bob Gaudio must have been one talented man.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's the best part about this show is, I mean, from Sherry to Big Girls Don't Cry to Walk Like a Man to Can't Take My Eyes Off You, it's like almost every song that you hear in this show, you've either heard before, either on a TV commercial or just growing up. I mean, no matter if you're young or you're old, you have heard this music. And it's almost like every song that you hear in the show, kind of the next one after the next becomes your favorite. You know, I think that's why so many people have seen the show more than once and they keep coming back for more because they just love this music, you know. And on top of it, you get this incredible story of Frankie Valli, and you learn about these men that formed this group and that went through, to see the struggles of a band that is formed, and they go through, you know, some people leaving, some people coming back. It's really a play, and you get to learn a lot about what they went through.
You know, it is a great story, and you see the ups and downs, and one would think that because of the great success they had, everything, they were always on a high note. But on the contrary, when you see the musical, you'll see that they had some down times and certainly struggles and certainly challenges within the group themselves as to find out where they really wanted to go. And even amongst the guys, spending so much time together, all different personalities, things change sometimes.
Absolutely, and I mean, you kind of get to get a peek into what Frankie's family life was like, that, I mean, being on the road, that he wasn't there, you know, he wasn't there with for his daughters to be raised. And, you know, he takes on a lot of, during the course of the show, you see him take on the responsibility of, you know, this is the way that my life has played out, but I kind of don't have anyone else to blame but myself for the things that, you know, I won't give anything else away in the story, but
sure.
But you see what has happened to him, and you kind of see him grow throughout the course of the show.
Now, do you practice every day, even when you're not on the stage? Do you, at home or wherever you're traveling to, do you sing every day just to kind of rehearse forth?
I mean, for myself personally, I like to warm up every day. I mean, I warm up in the shower and just kind of get my voice in order every morning, just to stay vocally healthy every day. But I mean, from city to city, we have, you know, our sound check in each theater and our spacing rehearsal, and they actually have every week or every other week, they have understudy rehearsals for, you know, the swings and the understudies for the main characters, just so they get a chance to, you know, be up to date and being on stage. You know, they don't get to go on all the time, but it's a good opportunity for them to stay up to date with the show as well.
I didn't realize I not only interrupted your shower, you interrupt your rehearsal too there a little early.
No.
You were singing in the shower. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, you did.
Do you ever go on for any of the other characters?
No. Them, I just go on for Frankie.
Now, you've been doing a lot of traveling. Of course, you will do a lot of traveling. How long are you signed up for the show?
My contract is for a year. So I joined, let's see, I was in D.C. for my rehearsals back in December, and my first performance was January 12th down in Fort Lauderdale. So yeah, I'll be with the show up until next January, and then who knows what will happen from there.
Well, you know, you've been in such great musicals, as I said in the introduction, Joseph and Les Mis and Fiddler on the Roof, Miss Saigon and so forth, and you were just recently in Snapshot, Stephen Schwartz's play up at Northlight Theater, and I'm sure that everybody in the Park Ridge enjoyed coming up to see in Skokie with that. Are you kind of focusing on musical theater? Do you think about some serious dramatic acting or anything?
Well, I mean, the best part about going to Carnegie Mellon for school was, I mean, the main focus there, yes, it was a musical theater program, but their main focus is acting. So, mm-hmm. I mean, what's really nice is, I mean, I got a lot of Shakespeare training and Chekhov, and I mean, we, I feel like I left there. My love has always been more for musical theater, but of course down the road I'd love to do, you know, more straight plays and maybe even go into TV and film a little bit. But for right now, I'm extremely happy and blessed to be doing what I love, and this is my dream show, you know.
Well, we're blessed to be able to see you do it, very frankly, because it's been a lot of fun. I'm sure everybody in the cast appreciates a Chicagoan showing them around Chicago as they're here for, you're going to be here for, you know, what, 9 weeks or so. That's terrific that you're going to be having a nice stint here.
June 3rd, and I mean, there's so many tickets still available. I mean, we want to keep filling these houses.
Well, you know, it's a great place to go, and certainly a great intimate, as you know, because you saw it there, and now you're on the stage, of course, but a great venue because it's an intimate theater that you really get involved in the play, the story itself, besides enjoying the great music.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
What more is there to say about Jersey Boys beyond noting this is by far the best jukebox musical ever devised for Broadway? You can listen to its score, nearly three dozen songs made famous by Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, countless times, and never fail to be thrilled by its pure elementary rock and roll perfection. And unless you have a heart of stone and an inner metronome that needs serious resetting, you'll not be able to deny the working class street corner romanticism and gorgeous vocal harmonies that propel this music from the very start. Broadway Chicago is thrilled to announce Jersey Boys at the Bank of America Theater, 18 West Monroe, will play for 9 weeks only through June 3rd. Terrific evening in the theater. On the line with us right now is the gentleman who portrays Frankie Valli in the Jersey Boys, Nick Cosgrove, a native of Park Ridge, Maine South High School, Carnegie Mellon. Nick, a pleasure to have you on the show. And, geez, you got to have a lot of fun with your family and friends all coming out to see you.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's just been so nice being here. I mean, my dad's family's all from Iowa, so they actually just drove in this Sunday to come and see the show. So it's been really, really fun to have a kind of an eclectic group at the stage door. You know, I'll have some teachers from grade school and some friends from high school and then my family and, you know, some other friends. I have one of my best friends, Lexi, who just flew in from New York to come see me these past 2 days. So it's just been really, really great being home.
Well, congratulations on your great success. Thanks for taking a little time and continued success with Jersey Boys.
Absolutely.
Take care, Nick.
Thank you. Take care.
Nick Cosgrove from Jersey Boys. If you want tickets, again, 800-775-2000. What terrific, terrific performer. Right from Maine South High School. Went to Carnegie Mellon, and what a terrific story in that he was there. Nick saw the musical when he was in high school and watched those performers up on a stage. Wanted to be up there, imagined that he could, and certainly is now. And certainly with Frankie Valli, America's Chicago, and the world's favorite musical, Jersey Boys at the Bank of America Theater, through June 3rd. The dynamic Inside Chicago Dance will debut three new works when it presents the Inside Chicago Dance Project, its popular annual spring concert of works by established, emerging, and new choreographers at the Athenaeum Theater, 2936 North Southport, Saturday, April 28th at 8 o'clock. The enrichment of the art of jazz dance is my passion and part of the core mission of Inside Chicago Dance, says Inside's artistic director Richard Smith. So to be able to feature three new jazz dance works alongside acclaimed works from our repertoire is exciting and fulfilling for me and every member of the Inside team. And on the line with us right now is the award-winning jazz dance specialist from East Carolina University, nationally recognized dancer, having worked with Frank Chavez, Gus Giordano, Sherry Zunker, and Eddie Ocampo, and has appeared on stage with the great Elton John, teacher and mentor with Joel Hall Dance Center, Chirco Rivera Dance Company, and our good friend Nan Giordano at Giordano Jazz Dance Chicago, and the artistic director of Inside Chicago Dance, now presenting their spring dance engagement Saturday, April 28th at 8 o'clock at the Athenaeum Theater, 2936 North Southport, Mr. Richard Smith. Richard, welcome to the Kevin Moore Show.
How's it going?
Well, fine, and congratulations on certainly the exciting presentation coming up on the 28th. Everybody's looking forward to it, and it's certainly a great venue at the Athenaeum Theater.
We love being at the Athenaeum. It is like home. When I first moved to Chicago and had the chance to perform during Dance Chicago while I was at Giordano's, it was always kind of like a homecoming when we were at Dance Chicago. So being my first impression of the Athenaeum and now that being our home theater for our concerts, it's like being at home.
Well, you know, it's such a nice, intimate atmosphere too, Richard, and it lends itself to the kind of presentation that Inside Chicago Dance Project projects, certainly, and certainly something to look forward to.
Oh, it's absolutely exactly what we're trying to do at Inside, and that is, you know, number one, making jazz as accessible as possible. It's one of the things about being not only in the correct venue but presenting the right choreography on stage. From top to bottom, from myself all the way through the dancers, it should be like walking up to someone and speaking to a person on the street or speaking to the teller at the bank. It should be that comfortable and that level of comfort from with our patrons and the dancers and all the artistic staff that makes the production possible. And that's the perfect feel that we're going for.
And I think that's a good point you bring up. I think some people, the common man, is a little intimidated and thinks to himself or thinks to herself, you know, I don't know anything about jazz dance. I don't know what to expect. I don't know how to act. I don't know what I'm going to see on the stage. But what you're saying is come out. It's very accessible. Read a little bit about it, and you're going to enjoy the evening.
And that's the great the thing about jazz is you don't have to come to the auditorium or come to the performance venue with anything other than your body. You have to be alive, that's all you have to do, because you have a heartbeat. So you have a natural rhythm within your body, and the music has beat. There is a presence that comes along with recognizing a familiar tune. The music that's in the Peggy Lee Suite, everybody will recognize Fever. The part of our goal is to make sure that we are preserving our history in jazz and jazz music, as well as continue to push the envelope forward and keep paving the way for what's next in jazz. And I think that understanding, and for new patrons to understand, that the music, you're going to enjoy the music. Even if you know nothing about jazz, you're going to like the music. And the jazz dance actually just accentuates the music.
You got to come alive, and after you leave even more alive when you after seeing the presentations. Well, of course, the first one is Sinead Gillay's Capsule, which is kind of interesting because it explores the subjective nature of time, whether it's going fast, whether it's suspending in time, as seconds tick away as the dancers kind of perform on the stage.
Correct. The great addition of her choreography is just what we need in life right now, is those moments that you want to capture, those moments that you want to hold on to, and then there's sometimes those moments that you want to get far away from. But we all have those moments, and that common bond between all of us is that we do have those moments, and we can all reflect and relate to those moments through her choreography. And it's more on the contemporary end than some of our other choreography, but I'm certainly glad that it's in our rep, because it's again one of those things that if you just watch it, you'll get it.
And from Inside Chicago Dances, one of its own, Courtney Kozlowski, The End of the World. Kind of interesting, because we are who we are through our experiences.
Correct. And we are a product of our environment, and it's we are a part of a big picture. And I think sometimes as we get so bogged down with all the hustle and bustle of day-to-day living, we forget that what is going on in our world, our own personal world, is only a very, very small portion of what's going on in the big scheme of things. And sometimes we can get lost in that. And how you define world is subjective. So you can, your world may be your everyday existence, your world may be your existence within the city, it may be your existence within the planet, but you all have we all have our own definition of what our world is and what it would mean for our own world to come to an end.
And our experiences enable us to change and emerge stronger than we ever were before. Very interesting. So it's a dynamic that continues.
Correct.
Yeah. And, of course, very proudly, Mr. Richard Smith's newest work, The Sides of Every Story. Kind of, what'd you say? There's not two sides. There's three sides to every story, right, Richard?
There's always three sides to every story. There's your side, there's my side, and then there's the truth. And it just doesn't need, that point just doesn't need to be over, pounded into you, and it doesn't need to be any more than just what it is. There's the right side, there's the wrong side, and there's the truth. But there's always three sides to a story. The ironic part is that if you think you're right, in your mind you're right, and you can't see anything wrong with that. Or if, in my opinion, you're wrong, if you disagree with me, in your mind, the way you feel is the correct way. And the real balance happens when the truth is discovered, but the truth doesn't know the right or the wrong. The truth is the truth.
Well, based on all of us being a sum total of our experiences, you certainly have worn a lot of hats and certainly interacted and performed and learned and taught and been a mentor to a lot of different people, as they have been to you over the years, with all the great people, as I mentioned in the introduction, that you worked with.
It has been a roller coaster, and not even emotionally as much as it has been from the time that I decided I was going, or actually when Nan offered me a position at Giordano's with the second company. From the time that happened, everything else has been a roller coaster. I moved to Chicago with a bag of clothes and a microwave in my little Volkswagen Jetta coming from Littletown, North Carolina on a Sunday after a football game. Came from up Lakeshore Drive, and wow. But from that moment, I absolutely enjoyed performing, and I do like performing. I love teaching. That is where my heart is, is teaching and being a teacher and coming up with ways to get dancers to get it. And not necessarily making them, the next great dance, definitely making them the next great person they can be.
Well, it's kind of interesting. I would imagine all the people that Gus Giordano has started in the dance world, not only in the United States, but in Chicago, certainly, and has learned from him and certainly has made a difference in their own dance companies.
Gus is one of a kind, and I had the privilege of performing for his funeral, and it was one of those things that was so surreal because he was such a fixture in our life and such a fixture in my experience in Chicago that we just always assumed that he was going to be there.
Yeah.
And then when we lost him, it hit home for a lot of people. And not only him, but when we also lost Larry Long, and then we lost Pina Bausch, and then we lost Merce Cunningham. I think we lost them all in the same year.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of these pioneers of dance have started to fade away, and now who's picking up the reins? Who's next? What do we do now? Now these pioneers have paved the way for us. Now what? And we always look to those people for our source of guidance and our source of information and what we should do next. And now we are slowly but surely becoming those people.
Well, that's the point. They're here forever because you and Nan and a lot of other people carry on that legacy with all the great dance troupes and groups that we have in Chicago, dance companies. It's amazing that you think there would be a certain amount of dwindling of that, but that's not the case. It's flourishing. It's greater than ever.
It is, and Chicago is oftentimes overlooked in the dance medium. You definitely look to New York and you definitely look to the West Coast, but Chicago holds its own. Through the trends between the East and the West Coast, Chicago holds its own in the dance world.
It's a great place to be. Founded in the fall of 2003, Inside Chicago Dance is a not-for-profit jazz dance company that builds off the foundations of the art form while leading the way for contemporary jazz dance in the present and future. Inside employs a highly trained, diverse ensemble of male and female instructors and dancers from across the U.S. and from many cultural backgrounds. The company's repertoire has evolved since its inception. With works from diverse choreographers ranging the spectrum of jazz, Inside is a dynamic resource for the discipline. Known for their highly entertaining and annual performances for the Cause and Inside Dance Project, Inside Chicago Dance promotes excellence in the performing arts on and off the stage. The ideals of integrity, passion, and pride allows Inside to advance innovative artistry through choreography, performances, and educational programs, and to heighten the state of the art within the Midwest. Inside Chicago Dance advances innovative artistry through choreography, performances, and educational programs to heighten the state of the art all in the Midwest. And here we are with Mr. Richard Smith, the artistic director of Inside Chicago Dance, now presenting their spring dance engagement Saturday, April 28th at 8 o'clock at the Athenaeum Theater, 2936 North Southport. Richard, if people like to get some information, maybe a website or a phone number?
Of course. Our website is www.inside.org. Our phone number is 773-960-490.
Well, as I said before, you got a great lady and Anne Fink over at Carol Fox getting the word out of a great group of people at Inside Chicago Dance. And if there's anything we can do to keep that word going, we'll certainly be there for you.
Well, thank you so much for all your help.
And good luck on the 28th.
All righty. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard.
All right, bye-bye.
Richard Smith, the artistic director of Inside Chicago Dance, presenting their spring dance engagement Saturday, April 28th at 8 o'clock at the Athenaeum Theater, 2936 North Southport. For information, 773-935-6860. Let's jump back to Ramsey Lewis's first big hit, The In Crowd. He recorded this at the Bohemian Caverns in Washington, D.C., live in 1965. It won a Grammy Award, a gold record. The In Crowd will be back on The Kevin Moore Show. Ramsey Lewis, his big hit, The In Crowd. We're back on The Kevin Moore Show. Score by Score pays tribute to the work of George Gershwin at Metropolis. Local cabaret artists revive the unforgettable music of George Gershwin at Metropolis on April 25th at 7:30. George Gershwin came a long way from his start on Tin Pan Alley, writing ragtime tunes and performing in vaudeville shows. After partnering with his brother, they both struck it big. Writing many popular songs and more than a dozen Broadway shows, Gershwin became a beloved composer. Now, yours truly, has assembled an amazing group of Chicago cabaret performers, including Daryl Nitz, our program director, Becky Menzie, our musical director, Laura Freeman, Heather Moran, and Tom Michael. For this show, dedicated to the music and memory of this fantastic composer and pianist, in addition to hearing unforgettable Gershwin tunes like I Got Rhythm and They Can't Take That Away From Me, you'll also learn the stories behind the songs and what inspired this incomparable composer. Kevin Moore presents Score by Score, an evening with George Gershwin, comes to Metropolis Wednesday, April 25th at 7:30. Award-winning stage personality, master showman, impressionist, nationally recognized vocalist, director, producer, teacher, mentor, one of the driving forces in the cabaret scene in Chicago, and the president of the Chicago Cabaret Professional, now presenting Score by Score, the best of Broadway musicals, the music of George Gershwin at the Metropolis Performing Arts Center in downtown Arlington Heights, Wednesday, April 25th at 7:30, and on April 20th and 21st at the main stage. Certainly a terrific show. Judy at Carnegie Hall, one of the great Grammy and award-winning shows of all time, will be at the main stage, 1328 West Morris in Rogers Park. And on the line with us right now is the great Daryl Nitz. Daryl, welcome back to the Kevin Moore Show.
How are you, sir?
Always a pleasure.
It's always a pleasure here as well.
You have a very busy week with Judy Garland and with...
I was like, who are you talking about? This person sounds like they're so busy.
Very busy, very busy. Judy Garland and then George Gershwin.
Yeah, Judy Garland and George Gershwin. And also on Saturday, I'm going to, after I do my Judy Garland show, I will head over to Davenport and do my Nits and Howe experience, which were like 12 and a half years running. So there's no rest for the wicked.
The longest running show in Chicago?
Yeah.
The Nits and Howe experience.
Yeah, it's the longest. It's actually the longest running cabaret show in the country because we kind of beat that record, and yeah, we have like close to 900 shows in 12 and a half years. It's crazy.
A little known fact that Kevin Moore met Mr. Daryl Nitz for the first time at the Judy at Carnegie Hall show back in 1961 when you were doing this.
That's right. I was Judy Garland back then. I was. Yeah, you know that interview that we did. I was on spring break because we do the show like around in April, and I was in my spring break, which was the end of April, and that's when I found out. It was actually in Las Vegas when they told me that I was doing this interview with you, and then we did it like closer to the time of the show. But and then look what happened. It was from that Judy Garland show that our friendship struck up.
Blossomed, just like George and Ira Gershwin, only we didn't live together. And, of course, that's going to be a lot of fun. Gershwin at Metropolis coming up on Wednesday, April 25th, 7:30. We continue the legacy of great shows out at Metropolis, started with the Rodgers and Hammerstein, continuing on to, of course, Andrew Lloyd Webber, the music of the night. Last year we did Irving Berlin. And now George Gershwin, very interesting man, and wrote, just a boatload of music and musicals and so forth on Broadway and for a lot of great songs, and we're going to learn a lot about him.
Yeah, I cannot believe, first of all, the output of George Gershwin in the short amount of time that he lived, and the songs that he wrote. That there's a lot of bad songs in there, but the amount of great songs that are considered standards is just incredible, and equally on par with somebody like Irving Berlin or Cole Porter, but nowhere near, lived as long as those composers. And then the other thing that I find so interesting is there's still an interest, like Porgy and Bess on Broadway right now, as well as a musical review called Nice Work, if you can get it. And then they're releasing in May for the first time a cast album of a show called Sweet Little Devil, which was a show that was from 1924, and it's got I'll Build a Stairway to Paradise and Somebody Loves Me, which those songs actually became more popular in movies and things that they got used in, you know what I mean? But but the original show is this sort of lost show called Sweet Little Devil that, it's never been recorded in its entirety, and in 2012, it's getting an issue. So there's still an interest in George Gershwin's music. I'm going through in the research for this show, a whole Smithsonian set that's just devoted to him and his work, and the jazz work you had mentioned, too, that he had done, and he recorded a lot of his own songs, so people interested in him can actually listen to him playing some of these and these piano roles of his, and now a lot of his music is in public domain. So I found quite a few things, especially in London, but they're released here in the United States. But England, they get released earlier as far as public domain goes, and you can pick up so much of his actual recordings.
Only a short life, two decades really, the 20s and the 30s. And the 20s, of course, his great works were Rhapsody in Blue, and, of course, An American in Paris. And in the 30s, he wrote the great jazz folk opera, which, as you said a little earlier, is on Broadway today, Porgy and Bess, with all the great individual songs for individual musicals and so forth. Died at a young age, 37, 38 years old. Quite remarkable.
Yeah, and there's shows like O.K., which is from 1926, or Lady Be Good, 1924, even Girl Crazy, is 1930, but people rework these shows, and Girl Crazy becomes Crazy for You, you know, and then they work in a couple of the other songs from his other shows, interpolate, and that's kind of like with the, well, this is actually a musical review, nice work if you can get it, but to me, in tracking down all of the Gershwin songs, I had to go back to just a straight lyric look at them and when they were written, because these songs got used in so many different productions that it was often hard to track down where did it, like A Foggy Day, for example, is from the movie 1937, Damsel in Distress. That's where it first got its start, but it, Foggy Day had, you know, life in so many other shows and even movies. Do you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
It's really fascinating what one person did in a short amount of time. I feel like I should be doing more.
Well, I think what we're going to see, too, is what's going on during the time of George Gershwin in the 20s and 30s. Certainly very volatile time in America and in the world, and how his music and how the spirit of the times affected that music, and still he persevered, certainly, and gave us such great work.
Yeah, that is, he was writing during, from the Great Depression and the World Wars, you know. It's just incredible.
And, of course, Judy at Carnegie Hall, which is going to be very interesting, on April 20th and 21st. You've done this numerous times.
Yeah, this is our third time. Yeah. It's the 51. They tried getting it together last year for 50th, which would have been nice, but it didn't happen. And it's the 51st anniversary, I guess you would, of the Judy at Carnegie. It actually, the album that everybody sort of grew up listening to was never complete, and it wasn't until, I think, maybe around the 35th or 37th anniversary, something like that, the album got reissued on a 2-CD set with the order and patter that we had never heard. And it was interesting because we did this, I think it's like 10 years ago and then 6 years ago. We did it way before. We did it twice before Rufus Wainwright, who actually now he's done it all by himself, and he's taken this Carnegie Hall album and presented it in concert. But we were doing this with, this time we have, I think, 12 singers. It's George and myself plus Laura Freeman and Elaine Dame and Honey West and Stephen Rader and Elizabeth Doyle, Heather Curry. We have Tecora Rogers. We have a very large cast with a little band. And I like it like that because you get to hear a lot of different performers as opposed to the same voice, you know, for the 25 songs that are in the show.
And you'll have an intermission, of course. It'll start at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. Yeah, it'll go like 8 to 10.
But the main stage is a terrific venue because you can sit there very cabaret style, have a few cocktails, have something to eat. In fact, they serve food there, and you can certainly have a very nice evening there.
Yeah, it is. It's really great food.
Got a great great cast, and certainly afterwards, segue on Saturday night back to Davenport's, right on Milwaukee Avenue, and see the great Darren Litz with George Howe and what he's doing. Of course, George has got something going in Broadway or off-Broadway.
Yeah,
kind of
taking,
exciting.
He's taking Arnie the Donut off-Broadway.
That's very exciting.
In July.
That's terrific. Yeah. Which just reflects the very talented man that he is. Of course, he's our musical director for The Music of the Night, the work of Andrew Lloyd Webber. Just does a terrific job. And what's interesting is you and George have been together for so many years, and people still come out on Saturday nights, look forward to it. They come out especially to see you, or they come out after having dinner or coming from another show or a show at Davenport's, and still have a great evening.
Yeah, well, I tell people, I said, you know, I bring a lot of people out, so to speak. And if you came to my show, you'd know why, because you'd be leaving there, you know, having worn a feather boa, or, you know, you never know what's going to happen with our show. That's when people come. They're like, you know what, every week it's different. And, I mean, we get some people that have come, like, actually every week or close to every week. It's crazy, and it's fun. I mean, so.
Well, I'd come more often, but you don't introduce me, so that has something to do with it, you know. See if you would do that.
Yeah, I heard that. I heard that about you. And I'm excited because my parents are actually going to get to see one of our Kevin Moore productions.
You know, and I meant to mention it to you, and unfortunately we don't have any tickets left, so unfortunately we will tape this, though, and they'll be able to hear it.
Or well, maybe I better start singing a medley.
Or maybe
our love is here to stay.
Or maybe they could come and you could stay home.
Well, you know, they wouldn't hang up on you. I can tell you that.
That's the truth.
I can promise you that they're well bred.
Judy at Carnegie Hall, of course, at the main stage, which is a great venue, and it's located at 1328 West Morth, and that's going to be April 20th and 21st. For information, 773-381-4554. And the Metropolis, the music of George Gershwin on Wednesday, April 25th at 7:30. For information, 847-577-2121. You know, always a pleasure, my pal. You got a busy
Thank
week
you.
Coming up. And, yeah, we are looking forward to seeing your mom and dad. I'm glad they're coming out. They're just terrific
yeah.
people. And despite what they say about you, I think they're wonderful.
We'll see you on Wednesday, if not before.
Look forward to it. Continued success, my pal.
Right, thank you.
Thanks, bud.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Mr. Daryl Nitz, of course, Judy at Carnegie Hall, April 20th and 21st, and then certainly we'll enjoy those this Wednesday coming up at the Metropolis, April 25th at 7:30. Kevin Moore presents Score by Score, the best of Broadway musicals, An Evening with George Gershwin. And let's not forget it that Monday, April 23rd, is Talk Like Shakespeare Day. So instead of saying you, say thou. Instead of saying y'all, say thee. And add an E-T-H to the end of any kind of verb. Verbs whenever you're talking to anybody. Methinks you should do that. You should do with that. That's the truth. Well, that about does it for our show today. I thank you for sharing this last hour with me and hope you, our listeners, have enjoyed this time as much as I have. Especially like to thank Nick Cosgrove, who portrays Frankie Valli in America's and Chicago's favorite musical, Jersey Boys, through June 3rd at the Bank of America Theater. For information, 800-775-2000. Richard Smith, the artistic director of Innisight Chicago Dance, now presenting their spring dance engagement Saturday, April 28th at 8 o'clock at the Athenaeum Theater, 2936 North Southport. And finally, our good pal, Daryl Litz. He'll have a busy week on Wednesday at the Metropolis Performing Arts Center. Score by Score, the best of Broadway musicals, the music of George Gershwin. Out in Arlington Heights. For information, 847-577-2121. And then April 20th and 21st, the main stage, 773-381-4554. The music of Judy Garland, of course, her great Carnegie Hall performance. So Daryl will be busy, but certainly always up for the occasion. Finally, a famous writer once said, "One ought every day at least to hear a little song, read a good poem, see a fine picture, and if it were possible, to speak a few reasonable words." I hope on our show today we have, at the very least, done just that, spoken a few reasonable words. At that, I'd like to wish everyone a good week, and as that British group once said, and in the end, the love that you take is equal to the love that you make. Have a great day.
And if we know we're always changing, why should it be the same? And tell me how, year after year, you're sure your heart will fall apart each time you hear her name. I know the way now or never. The more I love, the more that I'm afraid. But in your eyes I may not see forever. Forever. Be the best of friends. If we can try with every day to make it better as it grows, any luck than I suppose. The music, the music.